Welcome to the third episode of the second season of Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers basketball and St. John's basketball. I'm Dave from onthebanks.com, and with me, as always, is Norman of Rumble in the Garden.
Hello.
He's here, and we are ready to talk basketball because we're getting closer and closer to the season. Third week of practice, third week of podcasts.
It's Sunday, October 6th, as we record this, so the practice has started for about a week for most teams. I think for the people who are excited about basketball, there's been, you know, there's always a lot of anticipation, speculation.
Yeah, all new conferences. This is crazy.
This is crazy. I don't know what to do with myself.
I have to look up half the teams that are in this conference.
It is a little unfortunate, the disillusion. You know, for those who don't know, the Big East has been a conference since 1979 or 1980. I forget the actual year. I think it was 79. And in that time, St. John's and Syracuse and Georgetown and a number of other teams were founding members. Rutgers came along. When did Rutgers join the Big East?
95.
95, that late.
So yeah, they had an invite in the late 70s to be one of the founding members. Mm-hmm. Did you know this?
I did not know this. Tell me more.
They turned it down because Joe Paterno was promising them that they were going to start an all sports league, the Northeast Conference or something like that. So they turned down the Big East membership, and Paterno, it never happened, so Rutgers was stuck in the A-10 for quite some time until the Big East came calling again, and Seton Hall took Rutgers' invite.
You know, this, I think the lesson from this is never trust Joe Paterno.
Yeah, I think that's the way we need to go with that.
it's interesting, too, that, you know, one of the real barriers to creating a Northeast League was Joe Paterno and Penn State. The idea that, would they want to join? Would they not want to join? And I think that really affected whether or not or how prominent football was in the Big East.
Yeah, I think back then, I mean, it was more basketball was more popular, seemed like. So, people were being driven by basketball decisions and Paterno was holding back waiting for a football decision and kept Rutgers with him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to their credit, you know, Penn State and Paterno have certainly made out very well. You know, scandals aside, that's a completely side issue. But they made out very well sticking with the all sports in this this sport that is a lot less urban and a lot more suburban.
Yeah.
And, that is fascinating.
Yeah, it's just an interesting, like, twisty. I don't even know what ended up happening over the next, let's say, 15 years that got Rutgers to the Big Ten finally, and whether it was basketball or the Big East wanting to start a football league. I don't know, like, you know, what led to that, but now they're gone. Never had a winning record in the Big East in basketball.
The whipping boys of the Big East, the running joke of the Big East, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Well, can we move that on to DePaul now or something like that?
No. I think Rutgers holds a special place in Big East history, you know, being the team that somehow had New Jersey and the quote-unquote New York market that brought them over to the Big Ten, and yet they couldn't do anything with it in basketball. And in football, it's only been the last few years that they've
2005.
Been, yeah, that they've been even competent.
Yeah. Moment of silence for Rutgers basketball in the Big East.
A moment of silence. So,
except for your door closing in the background.
So St. John's and Rutgers are both now in new conferences, and Rutgers has what seems like a golden parachute, really, in going to the Big Ten, where, you know, there are payouts in excess of, what, $20 million a year? Is that what's
something
projected?
Ridiculous like that. More than that, I think. 25. They said by the time Rutgers gets a full payout, because you don't get – your first 6 years, you don't get full payouts.
First 6 years?
Something ridiculous like that.
Oh, my God.
But by the time Rutgers does get to their full payout, they are projecting the Big Ten to be paying out $40 million a year.
My gosh. Now, yeah. That's the kind of funny money that does make you, ditch alliances. Not that Rutgers necessarily had, strong ties to Connecticut or to, to St. John's or anything like that.
Yeah. But Seton Hall, maybe, but...
Maybe Seton Hall. But, how strong of a tie can that be at Seton Hall, right? But, St. John's and the remaining Big East teams, their decision to go it their way, and I'll touch back on that in a second, their decision to go their way was based on the idea of, a few million dollars, like under $5 million a year. And that's really fascinating. I'll take a moment and just... explain the conference realignment in case people don't know. A number of factions within the Big East were a little annoyed about how the Big East was kind of falling apart. And there was at one point a deal on the table with ESPN to pay a certain amount of money per year. That was a good amount. Mm-hmm. And the league's presidents and through the league's presidents, the league commissioner turned that down.
That was based on a lot of football stuff that time, right?
That was based on football, but then there was the issue of how much the basketball team should be paid, and then the basketball teams, I think, or the basketball programs, they're not teams or programs, the basketball programs were a little incensed about how much football was driving the bus. Now, to be fair, football should be...
I hate that phrase.
I know, it's a gross phrase. Do you want to come up with a new one?
I like Navigate the Zeppelin.
Okay, that's a good one. So, and to be fair, football right now is drawing a lot more eyeballs and a lot more money to media properties like ESPN. So, I guess they should be driving the Zeppelin. the basketball teams, none of them are interested, except for Villanova, I suppose, were interested in moving up to, full football level. And that's a kind of expense and a kind of commitment that can really sink a program and sink a school, or it can be difficult at least.
Yeah.
And so, the basketball team started making little noises about leaving, but then many of the football programs decided to go. Syracuse went to the ACC, Pittsburgh went ACC, West Virginia had already gone to the Big 12, Rutgers got the Big 10 invite. Louisville got the ACC invite but couldn't leave. Notre Dame's basketball,
that's a weird...
Well, the Notre Dame thing makes sense. Notre Dame, they get to maintain their independence, but they wanted a new stable affiliation, so they decided to go ACC. I don't know that seems like a great idea for them, given what they do.
Yeah.
And given that, they have these kind of natural Midwestern football rivalries that they're now... eschewing for their deal with the ACC, where they have to play five ACC teams a year.
It's so weird.
They're kind of like being in a conference, isn't it?
Yeah, but keep your network and your money.
Yeah.
Boo.
I don't know. I mean, they have their NBC deal, which brings them a lot of money. I thought that was, that wasn't like the greatest deal, whatever. Especially since Notre Dame, as far as basketball goes, if you're going to use basketball as an alumni connector, you want to come to New York. You don't want to go to Syracuse. You want to come to New York City. You want to be in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And now they have no basketball reason to be in either of those places. If you've been out this way in Chicago, you know that South Bend is a good hour and a half drive on a good, clear day between here between Chicago and there. So it's not like, people go, but it's not the same thing as playing at DePaul, which I know, yes, it's DePaul, make your jokes. But as an alumni event, you can do a lot of things with your Chicago area alumni on DePaul day. So
yeah.
I don't know. It seemed a little weird to me. Maybe they have a strangely strong alumni down in Raleigh, Durham and want to go there three times a year, but I don't know. Such is life.
This is Not Half Bad, the Rutgers and St. John's basketball podcast, and I'm Dave of onthebanks.com. You can find me at Dave_White on Twitter, and my co-host is Norman, and you can find him at ecoastbias on Twitter, and he's of Rumble in the Garden.
Anyway, so all of those teams left, and the Big East, the current Big East basketball teams were left with this amalgam of teams, including, well, Connecticut and Cincinnati, who couldn't find better landing spaces, and then Southern Methodist and
Houston, weird conference.
Who are coming in, yeah. And I think that was sort of a last straw. The basketball teams got a deal brokered with Fox Sports to pay them something on the order of $3 million a year for the media rights alone. And they would be the flagship basketball on the Fox Sports network, which is still a risk. You know, you still have, you know, this network that I think is on a lot of, the main network is on a lot of, what do you call it, cable. What do you call those things?
Cable companies?
Companies, thank you. Yes, that's shown by a lot of cable companies. But you don't have necessarily the same cachet as being on ESPN.
And yeah, but for in terms of basketball, they're building it right. I mean, they have Gus Johnson, who everybody loved calling basketball. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pair him with Rafferty. They stole Rafferty from...
That is sexy.
Yeah, they stole Rafferty from ESPN, which means that's a drinking game right there. Mm-hmm. so they're doing it right. They're gonna do basketball marathons on like New Year's Day, right? Or is it New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve.
And they're doing it right. So, you know, at first, at least, the fans of those teams are clearly gonna flock to Fox Sports, and if the games are good, they'll.
It would be helpful if those teams were playing at a top level, and I think that's kind of the worry, that a lot of those teams are still putting their style together. St. John's and Providence and Villanova in particular are teams that, you know, have had pretty good seasons in the past. And I don't know that Providence has ever drawn a lot of eyeballs, but you know, they certainly have had the sort of potential. And that's going to be interesting, because it's not Syracuse and it's not Louisville, and those are teams that actually draw a few more people in. And even given that, basketball ratings wise has just never done that well, or just hasn't done that well in the last few years.
You need your Georgetown, your Villanova, and your St. John's to be good, good.
Yeah.
Is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, Georgetown's been very good. Let's see what Villanova can keep up, and if Lavin can finally break through this year.
Yeah. So yeah, so that you know, that's where things stand, and you know, the Big East has DePaul, Marquette, Georgetown, Villanova, St. John's, Providence, Seton
Butler.
Hall. Oh yeah, well, I'm getting there. Seton Hall, Butler, Xavier, and Creighton now in the league. It's a nice 10-team league. It's a round robin, a home and home, which is very exciting.
Yeah,
because there is something about, you know, knowing that you get to play a team a second time. And there's something nice about knowing that a team gets to visit every city. So it's not like one year, you know, St. John's is like, hey, it's a good revenue year because we've got Syracuse coming. Oh, this year is not a good revenue because we don't have Syracuse coming and we don't have Georgetown coming. You know, that really does help pack Madison Square Garden for St. John's.
And for the fans, it's nice, like, You know you're going to see all the teams. I know when I got my tickets, my Rutgers tickets, I'd always look at the schedule and be like, okay, we don't get to see Connecticut this year. We don't get to see Syracuse at the rack, you know? And and it's nice because both teams, because now the AAC or whatever we're calling it is a round robin league. So at least this year, Rutgers gets to see everybody.
Oh, they do that? I did not know that. That's really exciting.
10-team league, you get to see everybody.
Okay, so who's in the AAC now? The American.
I think
that's how they want to brand it.
Yeah,
listen to your Oresco, man. Listen to your Oresco.
Yeah, it's just one year. I can call it whatever I want.
Okay.
you got Cincinnati, so they're an old Big East member.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut, old Big East member. Houston's a new team.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville, Memphis, South Florida, SMU, Temple, and UCF.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a East Coast to Midwest conference, so travel's not terrible, but you got some quality teams in there. I mean, everybody's projecting Memphis to be really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville is top five team.
Mm-hmm.
And then UConn has the guards, so you got a solid top four with Cincinnati in there as well. And then there's a bunch of like middling teams that nobody's real sure how they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, UCF was apparently really good last year.
They were decent. I mean, I don't know. I would never.
They weren't an NCAA team, but
Well, they couldn't be. They had some violations from Donnie Jones's recruiting, maybe involving Michael Chandler. I forget exactly what the deal was, but they had some violations that they had to work through.
And Temple has been good, and you don't want to underestimate Fran Dunphy, but he lost a lot of players.
He really did.
Yeah. So, and then there's Houston. I don't know anything about Houston.
Houston's very interesting, but well, okay. So one of the things before the Big East broke off, I was actually very excited about seeing Houston, though they had some guys who transferred out. But they have a couple of top 100 players in Daniel. I don't know if it's Daniel or Danuel House because it's spelled D-A-N-U-E-L. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how they pronounced it on broadcast. I actually saw a Houston game or two last year. But they had House and Denred Chicken Knowles and this guy Tashawn Thomas, who are actually pretty impressive players.
Didn't they have a couple big time – is it them or SMU that had the big time transfers in that are able to play this year?
SMU has a big time recruit. I'm not sure if they have any big time transfers.
One of the teams – oh, it's Houston because LJ Rose is supposed to be a big time guard that transferred in.
Nicely done, yeah. Well, LJ Rose is – we don't know if he's a big time guard. He came in with some recruiting some recruiting hype. But he didn't really play that much at Baylor, as far as I remember.
He's immediately eligible. He got his hardship waiver, so.
Okay. But he only averaged, he averaged under a point per game, I don't know in how much time. But he's a good enough player, and I think one of the places where Houston really struggles is with their point guard play. Because they have forwards for days. They've got a guy named Valentine Izundo. They've got, 6'8" dudes all over the roster. You know, I mean, they really do. They've got a Pitt transfer in J.J. Richardson. Houston's got a kind of an exciting roster. I don't think they look like they play well together from what I saw. But, you know, that's yeah. And their big transfer that you're thinking of is what's his name? Joseph Young, who originally had committed to Providence, decided to go back home to Houston to play with his dad, but then his dad got demoted, so he's transferring to Oregon or wherever it is that people transfer to when they're dissatisfied. I think it's Oregon or Missouri because that's where people go.
It's just they're an interesting team, so nobody's really sure what you're going to get out of them and if they're going to play together and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the big interesting, you know, when you try to forecast and look at Rutgers where they could finish, beyond those top four teams, it's such a muddle.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. I mean, if the veterans, you know, Rutgers, we've talked about it weekly, their starting five is veterans and they have experience. So if they buy into Eddie and Eddie can coach, they could be a 5 or 6 team in the conference, or they could be as bad as, 8 or 9.
Or they 10. I mean, don't sleep on USF. They don't, you know, I know that they struggled and they cannot score, but they do have a little bit more talent this year. They've got a number of big guys coming in.
Yeah, maybe. They always have big guys.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so maybe they're actually still, you know, team number 10.
They can't score.
They can't score. It was a pretty abysmal last year. And they still have Victor Rudd, I think. And Victor Rudd, you know, I know there are people who will talk about, you know, he's got so much talent, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he put his name in for the NBA draft. I think that kid is such a – do you remember Edgar Sosa?
Yes.
He kind of reminds me of bad Edgar Sosa. You know, a guy who thinks that he can make every single shot, and you kind of just want to show him a stat sheet that says, you have never made this shot, ever, but you keep taking it. Please stop. Mm-hmm. Don't do this anymore. You are hurting you're hurting basketball.
He does hurt the basketball.
Oh, my God. I mean, so the clang of the rims. He's 6'9", and he wants to park on the perimeter and shoot. And supposedly he can, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, if you're a fan of USF, it must be just maddening. So there are some interesting things. My gut reaction when everything started to come together for Jordan as he was recruiting and everything last year, was that he is going to have a shot in a weak conference. But looking at the teams, it's not as weak as I thought.
Yeah, so who else do you think stands out as a real, you know, wild card?
SMU interests me because they're Larry Brown coached.
Mm-hmm.
The point guard that they just got a commitment from won't be there till next year.
Yeah.
But they have some interesting players. I have to look at their roster here, but they're a frightening team. They're one of those teams that could just play everybody tough,
mm-hmm.
or it's a Larry Brown coach team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he could turn them around quick for all I know.
So I thought they have a hotshot guy in Keith Frazier coming in, don't they?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay,
yeah, he's a guard, 6'5" guard.
Yeah, and he's eligible this year, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. He's on the roster. He's a freshman.
Okay, so they've got him. They've got the Illinois guy Nick Moore, who's tiny and kind of quick.
Right.
I don't know actually who else is on. Oh, apparently they have Crandall Head, who is an Illinois transfer
And has the greatest name ever.
Yes, Crandall Head.
Yeah, but who's the point guard that they? You know, he's like a top 5 point guard that he just beat out for Kentucky for. That's a 2014 recruit.
Oh, Mundier.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him until next year.
No, but he is a top five guy if he's eligible. He does go to Prime Prep, and it seemed that the NCAA did not approve of their accreditation or of their course schedule or something. The Deion Sanders School.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, SMU has some good players. They have
Marcus Kennedy, who transferred from Villanova. He was a top, highly ranked recruit.
And a big man, too.
He's 6'9", 260. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have talent. They're a team that I could see being a pain in the neck. And, you know, we talked to UCF. I don't know very much about them, but I know they had a high RPI last year and won 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting league because it's not as weak as the eye test says.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of teams. After the top four, it's a bunch of teams that have never done anything. But if you look at their rosters, well, except Temple, they've done stuff. But if you look at their rosters, any one of those teams could kind of break out. I don't know. What do you think, just looking at it? Anything jump out to you?
I mean, I just think that it's an interesting team, or it's an interesting conference. I mean, Louisville's obviously the top of that conference. Memphis is always a wild card, and it'll be interesting to see how they play in a conference that can give them a little more competition,
because
they do tend to play down to opponents no matter how mature they are. You know, Josh Pastner has done a wonderful job recruiting, but mm-hmm. you know, the game coaching, it's fine, I guess, but
yeah.
they don't seem like the team that pushes through adversity and wins big games and such. You know, they seem like, much like less like St. John's, but a lot like those teams that have a number of highly thought of recruits and don't do a lot, like NC State. Trying to think of another good one. But there are teams like that where it's all recruiting and not necessarily a lot of heart. You know, and maybe it's a problem where they're not recruiting guys who match well together culturally to create a good cohesive whole.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, if you're a Rutgers fan and you're listening to this and you're looking for optimism, beyond Louisville, all of these teams are the kind of ranked teams that Rutgers has always been able to knock off at the rack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the rack gets going and the teams kind of pick up on that energy, you've always been able to see Rutgers knock off these teams, which kind of gives you hope that if you steal one or two on the road, you could be that fourth or fifth, not fourth, fifth or sixth ranked team in the conference.
Yeah. It'll be impressive, actually, if you know, given all of the shade thrown at the American Conference and at the dissolution of the Big East, if what turns out what happens is that there's actually very good basketball in this conference.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm looking forward to it. But that doesn't start till January 1st. What about the Big East? What are we looking at here? I mean, that's more a familiar conference to basketball fans, I think.
Sure. Yeah, and
old teams mostly.
Mm-hmm. I think that with the Big East, you have this. It's easy, I think, for people to make a certain kind of prediction, but specifically that Marquette would be on top and DePaul would be on the bottom. But the middle is kind of a hot mess. You know, there are people who question whether Creighton can hang in a conference like this. There are people who question, you know, how much did Otto Porter and guys like Greg Whittington mean to Georgetown? There are a lot of teams that aren't that far away from the other teams. It's not like the Big East where there was a really hard and fast bottom four and a top four. There's a lot of parity in the Big East.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Creighton is one of those teams. I think, that a lot of people are predicting to be up high. I'm surprised everybody's picking Marquette, though.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's – I always feel like Marquette just has a ton of JUCOs, so they all graduate year in and year out. So maybe I don't know their roster this year. But
think about this. I mean, yes, they have a ton of JUCOs, and people think of that as a negative thing. That's like a derisive thing to say. But those JUCOs, Buzz Williams knows how to get guys who match his passion and his desire, guys who have want to prove something. And he's managed to find guys, JUCOs, who are, you know, they take their chance and they grab their chance and they run with it.
Yeah.
And not just that, now he has, I mean, the interesting thing is that the newcomers that he's depending on are freshmen. Jawan Johnson and, what's his name, Deontay Burton, I believe, is the other guy, are the two main guards who are going to have to eat some minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those two guys... You know, one hopes that they are good enough, really, to play on a Buzz Williams team. And that's, you know, that's not a given.
Right. I don't mean JUCOs as to be derogatory.
Pejorative, yeah.
I just always think JUCOs, okay, they must have all graduated, you know. Mm-hmm. It gives you, like, that two-year window where 1 year they're learning how to play in your system and the next year they blow up. And then you got to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to look at his roster, and it seems like this is the year that it's not as many juniors.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's true.
He's got a lot of seniors, and he's got the freshmen. So maybe you're right. I could see.
And think about how Marquette has had system guys. There was the year that Maurice Acker all of a sudden turned good, or David Kubion. You know, two guys who could not shoot at all. All of a sudden, they step on the court, and they can handle their responsibilities. So this year, they've got you know, guys in Todd Mayo and Derek Wilson, who both were, you know, they've had, you know, hit or miss careers. You never know which one of them is going to step it up. And they have competition behind them in guys like Dwayne Wilson, Deontay Burton, and Jawan Johnson, who, you know, are expected to eat some minutes. So I feel pretty good about that pick. You know, Buzz Williams knows what he's doing. He's intense. He knows how to reach his charges, and he gets what he needs.
Yeah, you're right. And I could see that. I thought Georgetown was going to be one of those teams, but they're without Otto Porter. I got to get my Big East head back on here if we're going to talk about this.
No. That's what I'm here for. I am the Big East side. Otto Porter, yes, meant a lot to them, but they're a kind of a system team. You know, they do their thing. And I don't know how much it means that Otto Porter is gone.
I think Whittingham, whether he can play or not, is an interesting storyline.
If he comes, he's not coming until late. And so I think he's a guy to pretty much count out for now. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I think it's more of a question of whether they can get something out of Josh Smith, the UCLA transfer. You know, the very big man, 6'10", 300 pounds.
Oh.
Known for his lack of conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But, you know, given a better situation, given a last chance, maybe he's the kind of guy who, you know, can really take that opportunity and run with it too. And for the skills that he has, even, I mean, consider also that Georgetown isn't necessarily a fast-breaking team all the time. They don't mind that the center is a little slower. Roy Hibbert wasn't, you know, a complete speedster, and, you know, neither was the other guy. I can never remember all of their long line.
They always have big centers that just, they can pass.
Yeah, and Josh Smith can pass, and he can take up space. I think that's not a bad fit right there. They've got experienced guards in Markelle Starks and Devontae Smith-Rivera, and Devontae is the kind of guy who I think can really explode. I think he can be a better shooter than he was last year. This is not half bad. The podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball. This is Norman, and I'm joined by co-host Dave of On the Banks. You can find me at Ecoast Bias on Twitter or at rumbleinthegarden.com. You can find Dave at Dave_White or onthebanks.com.
I'm going to say something stunning here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say surprise team in the Big East,
mm-hmm.
DePaul. I think with Cleveland, Melvin, and Brandon Young as seniors, you might see them knock off some teams. I know their pressing defense is so terrible,
mm-hmm.
but I believe in seniors, and their two best players are seniors. Plus, they got that Crockett guy who's just annoying.
Yeah.
As a junior. I could see them. I'm not saying they're going to be top three in the Big East, but I could see them being like 6-7 and really like knock some teams off.
I feel like I could see it, but every year I say that, oh, this is the year. That said, you can say bad things about the fact that Oliver Purnell had four guys or five guys transfer last year. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that, and that is a bad thing, but you know, if you're talking about, you don't want to be consistently bad. And he had some guys who just couldn't do their jobs. You know, I really like Moses Morgan, but I think in that system, he didn't really fit. You know, he's not like a quick trigger. He's not a high level athlete necessarily. He's a good athlete. I mean, you know, he's a guy who should go somewhere else and really thrive. But so now they've got, you know, a big three of Crockett and Melvin and Brandon Young. Hopefully they'll be able to get Brandon Young off the ball with help from Darrell McDonald and Billy Garrett Jr. And that might be a good thing, because I think the other problem is that Brandon Young at the point guard spot is only okay. He's not exactly quick enough to do the things that he needs to do at all times. But he's strong enough to defend shooting guards. He's strong enough to get his shot. And maybe he just needs to not have the ball all the time. Maybe that's a better thing for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm looking at their schedule, and they have a very Oliver Purnell out-of-conference schedule, which is one of those, we're going to play nobody and be 10-1.
They're playing Oregon State. That's not bad. They're playing Arizona State. That's an up-and-coming team.
Come on. They're playing at Wichita State. That's the tough one.
They're at Illinois State, too. I think these aren't bad. Okay, they're playing Houston Baptist and Chicago State. Okay. But Illinois State's not bad. They're playing at Northwestern.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
They've got Oregon State. At Milwaukee's not, you know, okay, maybe that's a little easy. I don't know. I don't think it's a worse schedule.
I don't think it's like...
It's not a Cincinnati schedule. Clemson.
Yeah, you know... schedule, but it's not an impossible schedule where they're playing everybody. So they could be, you know, he might build some confidence. They could be, you know, 10-2, 9-3 coming in with brimming with confidence.
This is true. And one of the changes in the roster this year, Purnell has brought in a number of big guys, Sandy Marcius from Purdue. He's a Croatian big man, which, you know, I think, who's the stiff they had years ago? I think he might have been Croatian. I can't remember. They're bringing in a guy named Forrest Robinson, Thomas Hamilton, Greg Sequel. And with four new big guys, yes, they're all big guys, and many of them are young. Two are JUCOs. One's a, you know, whatever. But one of the problems last year is that they couldn't rebound and they could not defend in the paint. And maybe he has the right combination of guys who actually get back on defense and know what to do when they get back. Because Donovan Kirk was just kind of mediocre, and he wanted to drift a little bit outside as well.
Right. Look, I'm selling you on DePaul. This is the year for DePaul.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to surprise top 16, top 7.
Okay. All right.
Who else is in that league? Come on. Seton Hall's not going to be that good this year. Butler's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Creighton, I think, can be had. Now, one thing I do think is that I think that DePaul can beat Creighton, and I think they can beat them twice. Because what I imagine is that, you know, Creighton's defense wasn't that great, and they've lost the real post player. So they're going to be playing with immature posts and with an urge to outshoot teams. You know, DePaul might just be willing to outshoot you if they can get on a run. You know, they're not going to shoot a lot of threes, and they probably should shoot more. Mm-hmm. But... you know, if they can get in the way of some of those threes and get Creighton into a speed that is uncomfortable for them for a few stretches, I don't know. Maybe DePaul can knock them off.
I think that they're gonna be a pain in everybody's fanny.
Yep,
that's what they're gonna be, and that might be good enough to get them. I don't think Seton Hall. This is not Seton Hall's year yet. Butler shouldn't be good this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of question marks with Butler.
But then after that, you're talking about a number of teams that are very good. Like Xavier is probably going to be sneaky good. They've got
Xavier. I wasn't ruling out Xavier. I'm worried about Providence. I'm interested in Providence this year.
I think they also can be sneaky good.
I think they can be very good too.
Chris Dunn came in with, a separated shoulder, and he played through it last year. I think he can be a better offensive player. I think they can be a little faster, a little tougher on defense.
Bryce Cotton.
Yeah, they've got Bryce Cotton. They've got a couple of incoming transfers who are long and at least can give minutes. They've got a lot of freshmen turning into sophomores. That's a good, that's a good look. St. John's has got all of that talent. Villanova's got, pretty good talent too, but, they're missing their big center post.
Yeah, but he doesn't like to play that way anyway.
Yeah, this is true.
I just think if there's ever a year for DePaul to really, and I'm not saying NCAA tournament or top three in the big, just to be a pain in everybody's backside.
Maybe a little NIT action.
NIT, this is the year when you got your two best players are your seniors. You got some, you rebuilt your roster kind of more in your image in Oliver Pennell. This could be the year where they kind of put a scare in a bunch of teams and knock off the teams they should, the Seton Halls and the Butlers.
Sure.
And then beat Creighton, and then everybody's kind of going like, all right, we can't – it's not a team you can sleep on.
Dave calls DePaul. Hi, DePaul. How are you doing? You want to come over? How are you doing?
All right. You got to call your surprise in the American.
My surprise might be Houston.
Houston. All right. We'll write it down. Yeah. I think I'm taking more risk than you, but.
I think you might be, yes. I think you definitely might be. I'm not calling USF to march to the top. And, I could call SMU, but that's like, going with Larry Brown. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, he might quit. He might be awesome. Who knows?
He might quit. He might quit three games into the season. But, yeah, it's good. I think it's an interesting college basketball year just because there's so much new. Especially for a Rutgers, Louisville, that AAC, you don't know what you're getting at all.
Mm-hmm.
Big East is kind of familiar, but still those new teams, like you said, Xavier could be they're always talented and always fun. They could, step in and really match up well with everybody.
The Big East will be filled with surprises too. And, sometimes parity is such a weird thing because you can have parity, but still have a team that, doesn't win a lot of games. You can have a team that's just a few possessions away from beating every single team.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't do it.
And here's the big question. This is the question that's going to decide who's lucky and who's not, and which conference is lucky and which conference finishes as predicted and which conference is really up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Jim Burr refereeing the most?
I think he's doing the Big East.
Big East, so that'll finish exactly as predicted.
Yep.
Because he will make those calls. Just as you want him to.
Yes, yes, he will.
This has been Not Half Bad, the Rutgers and St. John's basketball podcast. I'm Dave of OnTheBanks.com.
And I'm Norman of RumbleInTheGarden.com. You can find us on Twitter in between podcasts. I'm at ecoastbias on Twitter, and Dave is at Dave_White.
Yes, and we actually have a official On The Banks Twitter if you want to follow that. It doesn't cover much basketball yet. But it's at @OTB_SBNation, so easy to remember.
Oh, okay. I'll remember to follow you. Maybe from Rumble SBN, which is the Rumble in the Garden official Twitter.
Yeah, but we'll be back next week. Hopefully, there'll be some practice news to talk about.
And if you have questions for us, feel free to reach out at nothalfbadpod@gmail.com. That's nothalfbadpod@gmail.com. nothalfbadpod@gmail.com.